Good Monday. Today is September the 2nd, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, it's Labor Day, and we're going to take some time today to catch up with Dr. Laura Lindsay, OSU Extension soybean and small grain specialist. We're going to get an update on how the soybeans are doing as we're getting ready to roll into September, rolling into harvest season, and some tips for those late beans. We'll be back with that and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
I'm visiting today with Dr. Laura Lindsay. Laura is our state extension soybean and small grain specialist. Dr. Lindsay, we are getting to the end of August, and as we get to this time of year, a lot of folks start to think towards harvest season. With the hot, dry weather we've had, some of those bean fields unfortunately turning rather rapidly, and in some parts of the state that have experienced that harsh drought, harvest looks like it's right around the corner. Other places, though, whether it's double crop soybeans or maybe some that are later planted and caught some of the rains, still look like they've got some potential to them. What can you tell us?
Yeah, the drought was mostly, the early season drought this year was more in the southern portion of the state, whereas, the northwestern portion was actually really wet the beginning of the year. So that might explain some of the differences there. And our research trials, where we look at different soybean planting dates, we planted as early as March 25th and as late as June 24th. So in our trials, depending on the planting date, we're seeing, a wide range of maturities as well.
Interesting. How soon do you think the first trials will be ready for harvest?
Well, I would think hopefully the end of September.
Okay.
We'll see.
When it comes to some of the later planted ones that still show potential out there, or for anybody that's maybe got some double crop beans in that obviously they were waiting for rain but did get some rain and the crop's coming along, any late season management tips that you've got for them?
At this time of the year, it's important to use your resources wisely. So if yield potentials could be lower because of drought conditions, or prices may be lower, really think wisely before you do things. So if you do choose to apply something, whether it's a fertilizer or fungicide or insecticide, make sure you have a reason to do it. This year in particularly, I know a lot of soybeans are probably beyond the stage where you would spray a foliar fungicide, but disease levels are really low this year in soybeans because of this dry weather. So with potentially lower yield potentials and lower prices, just make wise decisions and don't use any products unless you have a reason to use them.
That makes a lot of sense. Any surprises maybe that have been seen in the plots that you've had out this year?
Well, I'm hoping to see some surprises at harvest. we plant good surprises. We planted as early as March 25th in Western Ohio in Clark County, and those soybeans flowered for about 10 weeks, which is a really long time. I'm really interested to see how these planting dates interact with the weather conditions. So when we plant early, we have earlier flowering, longer flowering. The pods started to form at the bottom of the plants on June 12th, where that drought or those dry conditions in the western part of the state came in a little bit later. So what I'm really interested in is seeing, how could we maybe adjust our planting dates to mitigate the effects of bad weather? Because we can't control the weather, but we can to some extent control our management practices.
That makes a lot of sense. Should be some good practical information coming out of that. Again, my guest today is Dr. Laura Lindsay. She's the OSU Extension Soybean and Small Grain Specialist, also working with the Battle for the Belt Project. Laura, thanks so much again for your time today.
Yep, thank you.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now, talk a little bit about the poultry industry and egg prices as shoppers are seeing some very high prices for eggs. USDA's Gary Crawford tells us more.
And now, here is a little musical masterpiece that has philosophy galore.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
I usually use this little ditty to illustrate stories about bacon prices.
Well, we're going to be talking about eggs instead.
Eggs instead, because eggs, or egg prices anyway, are causing quite a bit of egg excitement in the food world right now. This from Agriculture Department livestock analyst Shale Shagham. Of course, if you do the grocery shopping at your house, you don't need an expert to tell you egg prices have been skyrocketing of late.
Supplies of eggs for immediate sale are very, very tight. And what we have seen is wholesale prices that were about $2.57 in July for the New York egg price that we track, going up to about $4.14 yesterday.
A 60% price hike in about a month's time. And if you look at the wholesale price of eggs 1 year ago, the spike's even more dramatic, a dozen eggs averaging only $1.23 a dozen. So eggs at wholesale are selling for 236% more than 1 year ago. Again, that is just the wholesale price.
Those higher egg prices at wholesale are to some extent being reflected in higher retail prices.
But Shagham says many stores are working to spare consumers from the full brunt of these wholesale price hikes.
Many stores, retailers will opt to offer eggs on special at below the cost of wholesale to help increase store traffic, to bring people in to buy other items in the stores. And right now we have seen an increase in the amount of specialing being offered, although, again, it has been at somewhat higher prices than we would have been looking at a year ago.
So let's go back a bit. What's behind this run-up in egg prices? Shale mentioned the fact that egg supplies are very tight. We heard that. And the reason for that is avian influenza, which has resulted in the loss of millions of egg-laying hens. The flock, as of this July, has numbered 305 million birds.
Compared to the previous year when they were about 313 million. So a smaller number of birds. As a result, we're getting a smaller amount of table egg production.
Shagham expects that in 2025, the size of the laying flock will increase, bringing on higher egg production, lower egg prices for consumers. That's assuming no more bird flu outbreaks. In the meantime,
wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
More philosophy. Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Thanks, Gary. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.